Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Right now, Jane Levy is on with us. She's the author of the new book, The Big Fella, Babe Ruth and the World He Created. And Jane joins us by phone right now. Jane, thanks so much for taking the time to hop on with us.
My pleasure.
So I'm always fascinated when you undergo a project like this. Over 250 interviews you conducted to put this book together. How difficult is the process of putting all of that together? To me, the organization of taking interviews and all these quotes and all these stories and everything else and organizing it would be quite the process.
It's kind of like doing a mosaic of the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel in words.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I'm sure.
It's just, I knew from the very beginning that if I was going to be able to find a new story to tell about Babe Ruth, and after 8 years I have, it was going to be compiled by little pieces of information and stitching them together or grouting them together, to use the same metaphor, into a bigger picture. And thanks to the availability of all sorts of new digital collections of newspapers and family documents, I was able to find the truth about his childhood, which he had managed to keep quiet for a century.
You said 8 years it took you for this project?
Yeah, you know, some marriages last a lot less than that.
8 years, wow. And how long did the search take in those 8 years to find something new about Babe Ruth that you had not read or heard from someone else?
Well, you know, I was so scared that I wouldn't find anything new because everybody who you want to talk to is presently dead, as Casey Stengel might have said, that I took a whole year before agreeing to write the book to read everything about him that I could. And what stuck out like a sore thumb was the absence of anything about his childhood. It was as if he grew and fully fledged from St. Mary's Industrial School at age 19 when he went off to play for the Baltimore Orioles. And using all those sources, I was able to find out why nobody had ever written about it. And why nobody had ever written about it? He never talked about it. Who would want to talk, especially in those years, about your parents getting divorced, about your mother being accused of adultery and alcoholism, about your father finding her with his bartender in the family dining room and divorcing her publicly in the pages of the Baltimore Sun. So he just kept his mouth shut. He protested when people called him an orphan. He protested when people called him an incorrigible. Neither of those myths are true. But basically, he didn't ever talk about his childhood.
So Bob Kramer wrote this book about Babe Ruth, and basically if you're going to take on a project like this, Jane, it's almost like, why don't you write a book about the Rocky Mountains? It's like there's just not, it's so broad and there's so much that's already been said because he lived such a life and he was so famous and so larger than life. So you find out this stuff about his family, you find out about his siblings dying young, his parents separating and all of these things. How negative was the emotion for you as you're trying to write this? I know you're putting together something that you realize is compelling and so, okay, there is a project here, but emotionally it had to be kind of draining for you just because so much of it was from a negative context because it was such a tough childhood and tough upbringing for him.
Well, you know, maybe it's the mother quality in me, but I just felt so badly for that little boy, that seven-year-old who got dumped by his parents in this institution. And they had lost all but two of their children to a variety of illnesses, two from malnutrition. You know, so how bad does that got to feel if you're 7 years old and your parents only have two kids left and they still don't want you? So what actually is the more the case is that I feel incredibly impressed by him. Given what he faced as a little kid, to have grown into the man he did, the big fella, and manage as well as he did in his all too short life is astonishing.
You know, Jane, I know in this book, by the way, the name of the book, The Big Fella, Babe Ruth and the World He Created, and you can buy it in stores or online right now. When you're writing this book, you're kind of telling the story of modern day sports celebrity culture and how Babe Ruth may have started that. Then I start thinking about, what if cell phone cameras were around when Babe Ruth was a celebrity? What if stories were written and told and photographed about things that he was up to in his personal life, and how different that would be today if Babe Ruth was a star now? Is that something that crossed your mind as you're putting this together?
Absolutely, and thanks for asking the question. I think if Babe Ruth were playing today, he'd have an agent like Scott Boras who would assign a body man or two to follow him everywhere and make sure that he didn't act out in any public place. He'd be going to VIP rooms at lounges as opposed to speakeasies, and he'd have a crew of bouncers and, you know, surrounding him. But, you know, the thing is, if you look at how he changed after he hit bottom in 25, you know, he hired a trainer. He had an agent who took over his financial affairs. He actually got thinner after he got fatter. And, you know, he basically figured out how to do what Paul Gallico, who had been a columnist of the Daily News, said. You know, you learn what every American celebrity learns, which is to hide your peccadillos. And I'm not saying that he, you know, shaped up completely and turned into a different human being, but he certainly learned how to comport himself in public.
You know, you hear about the womanizing of Mickey Mantle, and that was more of a modern era, and you hear more stories about that. Was that aspect of his life, as you put together these stories, as legendary, so to speak, as Mickey Mantle's life?
I'm not sure how I would actually compare those, because Mickey Mantle didn't leave seven cigars on a window sill the way Babe Ruth did to indicate his conquest from the night before. Look, I don't really, this may be radical, maybe I'm not supposed to say it, I don't really care.
Yeah.
I think that people are people, and you know, I bet there are some major leaguers out there today running around. I don't think there was any chance I was going to be able to add anything particularly factual to what we know about his romantic encounters. But I will say this. The one thing he ever told his daughter, Julia Ruth Stevens, who's still alive at age 102, about his childhood is that he never felt full. And that was certainly a statement of actual physiological hunger at St. Mary's, where they had all of 6 cents a meal to feed each of those kids. But it's also a statement of longing and emptiness that comes from being abandoned. And I think he spent the rest of his life filling himself up with wine, women, beer, song, and everything else he could to try to fill up that empty space inside.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that point up, because I also think Babe Ruth is this legendary figure for a lot of just normal American guys because of his physique. It wasn't the best. He was fat at times, yet he was a legendary athlete in his time, which you don't see a lot of that today. I think that's a big question that I have, and I know a lot of other people do, about Babe Ruth. How was he this good and that out of shape at times playing baseball?
Well, you know, when he came into the major leagues, he wasn't out of shape at all. He was an incredible specimen. He was bigger than everybody else on the playing field. And that gave him both a distinct advantage, particularly against slop-throwing pitchers. But it also means that he was literally able to manhandle a 54-inch bat, which he used at the beginning of his career, and to control, you know, with exquisite touch, a Major League Baseball when he was pitching, as he did for the Boston Red Sox, Game 2 of the 1916 World Series, where he went 14 innings. So I think the dimension of the man, the sheer physical dimension of the man, had a lot to do with his unsurpassed abilities. People ask me all the time, well, is he the best? there's absolutely no doubt he was the best player ever, because as my buddy Dan Okrent, the guy who created Fantasy League Baseball, says, he was both Beethoven and Cézanne.
Shane Levy, author of the new book, The Big Fella, Babe Ruth and the World He Created. You can buy it right now. Jane, thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. This was fun and informative.
You ask great questions. Thank you. I'll come back anytime.
Well, thank you. That's appreciate a great compliment. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Shane Levy. I'm in on this book. There's a couple of good books right now,
Chad, that I'm interested in. I'm interested in this Beastie Boys anthology that's coming out the end of the month that was written by the two surviving members, that's 600 pages, that has a screenplay in it and all of these other things. I think that book's going to go down as one of the great memoirs of all time. It comes out at the very end of this month. I can't wait to read that.